from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Wow. All of a sudden, those of us that make a joyful noise unto the Lord don't have any instrumental giftings. Who knows what's going to be happening in heaven? You'll maybe finally learn how to play a harp or a guitar or whatever the Lord ordains for you to use as worshiping the Lord, including your joyful noise, voice like mine. It's amazing how God can take a joyful noise voice and mix it in with a crowd and everything fits. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. So, Father, we humbly come before you at this time. And we acknowledge you in all our ways that you have set before us, Almighty God. And with all these things, Almighty God, we just want to give you glory and honor and praise. Father, may your Ruach descend upon us even now and teach us this day. May your word come alive as never before in our lives, that we are truly living epistles of your word, Almighty God. We are so enriched and we are so blessed. Continue to do that work, Father, that you started in us. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's continuing message, part two, is the Acts of the Emissaries of Yeshua, chapter 9. There are two emissaries that it deals with here. One who is a brand new emissary, the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. And as I was preparing this message this week, the Lord had me turn back to Matthew. And I won't give you chapter and verse because you are very familiar with in the book of Matthew. Yeshua is upon the execution stake. And he shares very, very few words. But the one word that the Lord put on my heart as the Lord showed me himself upon the execution stake in my mind, I heard him say these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Then we fast forward his death, his resurrection. And then we go then to Acts, where it speaks about Stephen. He's debating with Greek-speaking Jews of the synagogue of free men. And there's a person who's standing in the crowd. He's actually a hidden instigator of what's going on. And that's our first introduction to the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. And in that book of Acts, it says that as Stephen is being persecuted and dying, laying down his life, he catches a vision. And those that are rushing towards him, they actually put their fingers in their ears so they can't hear what he's saying next. But the person who's standing in the background, the instigator, he hears everything. And what did Stephen say? He says this, "I see the Son of God," or the Son of Man, depends on what translation you go by. "And he is at the right hand of the Father." And what is Stephen's last words? "Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them. Do not let this sin be charged against them," in various translations. And when you read 26 and more translations of the Bible, it's a beautiful thing. But the words are not always exactly the same in each translation. And with all that, there's a seed that is planted in the heart of this instigator. And now we move forward to Acts chapter 9. Stephen is already in the ground. We don't tell him how long, because there were righteous Jewish men that buried him. And some people have taken this scripture out of context and said, see, this is why it's okay to put Jewish people to death through the centuries, because of what the Apostle Paul did before he was an apostle. This was a Jewish crime against a fellow Jew. But it's amazing how different church fathers have twisted that and used this as reasoning for anti-Semitism to grow. This was in-house. Both men and everyone that participated in the death, the martyrdom of Stephen, were Jewish. And so with that, we move on. And so just as Yeshua upon that execution stake said to his father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing, Stephen in the same likewise, because he was laying down his life, that the kingdom would be established in the hearts and minds of those, that in and through his death, he received a vision from Abba, Father God. In whom did he see? But his own Redeemer, his own Messiah. And the scripture says that Yeshua rose, he stood up when Stephen was in the process of being stoned. And the very last words from Stephen's lips were, Father, forgive them. Do not charge this sin against them. So these seeds are sown. As the body of Messiah from that day forward till now and beyond have laid their lives down, their words and their life have sowed the seeds of the good news and pointed back to Yeshua. So now let us begin in Acts chapter 9. The Lord wanted me to have this as our introduction today so that we would fully understand that Stephen and we, no matter what we're facing in life, are to show forth the character and attributes of our Messiah. He gives us the grace and ability to do that. Stephen could not do that on his own. And we're incapable of bearing witness to the Messiah unless we're being filled with the Spirit of the living God. It's nothing we put on. So let us begin in Acts chapter 9, beginning of verse 1. As this story continues. Meanwhile, Shaul, still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's Talmudim, went to the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, authorizing him to arrest any people he might find, whether men or women, who belonged to the way, and to bring them back to Jerusalem. He was on the road and nearing Damascus when suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And think about this. What's going on in the heavens? I believe Yeshua is now seated yet again to the right hand of the Father. And the Father has witnessed Stephen's death. And this is many days later. But we can see that possible, and the scripture doesn't record this, that as Saul of Tarsus was on his way with these men from the temple guard and all these other individuals to arrest all those who are followers of the way, that Yeshua could have said these words to the Father. Father, now forgive him for Rav Shaul, Saul of Tarsus, doesn't know what he's doing. Show him mercy and grace, for he is an enemy to you and I, but I laid down my life not only for my friends, but also for those who were once my enemies. Scripture doesn't record that, but we know the heart of Yeshua, because he's the only way and truth and life. And if it not by God's grace and mercy, the Saul of Tarsus would be eternally lost. And so would you and I. Not by the grace and mercy of God that you and I stand and live and move and have our being in our Messiah. There's no other way but to God through Yeshua. So let us continue. When suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him, falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Shaul, Shaul, why do you keep persecuting me?" As a young believer, when I first read that, in my mind and heart, it had to have been a thunderclap, a rebuke. But now, as a more mature Messianic believer in Messiah, there's a rebuke, and the words are strong, but they're filled with love and compassion. Because this man is about doing the business according to his own desires and passions. He believes to the depth of his soul that what he's doing by going to Damascus and arresting all these followers of Yeshua who are following after the new way, he believes that they've all fallen away from Judaism. Christianity does not exist. Judaism exists. All these people involved in this are Jewish people who need redemption. And when we see God's grace and mercy as we're walking in our own zeal, because as we go through the book of Acts, we notice that the zeal of Rav Shaul was so intense that there were times when the brothers in Messiah had to send him away. Otherwise, they would have no peace. See, there was a process where Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, his zeal had to be bridled so that God's kingdom would be established. Have you ever said words and been so full of zeal that you cause more damage than good? Let's move forward. "Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me?" "Sir, who are you?" He doesn't know who's speaking to him. He's never seen a light ever. The Shekinah. It's never recorded in Scripture up to this moment that he ever experienced what he read from in the Tanakh in times when the fathers, the forefathers, saw the Shekinah, the divine presence of Adonai. And he's never heard the voice of Adonai up to this point. It's never recorded in Scriptures. He recognized what the Shekinah is. He doesn't argue about that. He hears the voice, but he then inquires, "But who are you? Who are you?" Going on, he asked, and the voice speaks and says these words, "I am Yeshua, and you're persecuting me." Anytime a non-believer thinks a thought, raises their hand against a believer and follower of Messiah Yeshua, they can't strike Yeshua anymore. Did not Yeshua warn us that those of us who are Talmudim, his disciples, know this, that so as the world has treated me, they shall treat you likewise? Rabbi Frank, where's that in the Scripture? Read it for yourselves. It's there. And if Yeshua gave us that warning so that we would not walk in fear, but know this, that God's grace is available to us. His enabling power to go through any persecution, trial, or tribulation is there if we'll simply walk therein. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Let us continue. But get up, Yeshua says, and go into the city, and you'll be told of what you have to do. The men traveling with him stood speechless and hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Notice that. They all heard the voice, but they didn't see anybody. Continuing here. They helped Shaul get up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So, lending him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he remained unable to see. He neither ate nor drank. There was a Talmid, a disciple in Damascus, named Hananiah by name. And in a vision, the Lord said to him, Hananiah? He said, Here am I, Lord. The Lord said to him, Get up and go to Straight Street, to Yehuda's house, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Shaul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Hananiah coming and placing his hands on him to restore his sight. But Hananiah answered, Lord, many have told me about this man and how much harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And here he has a warrant from the head Kohanim to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, because this man is my chosen instrument, to carry my name to the nations, even to their kings and to the sons of Israel as well. For I myself will show him how much he will have to suffer on account of my name. Many believers through the centuries have had to suffer. The Bible that you hold in your hands came through suffering. To have God's word written in your language, in whatever language those who are listening on the podcast, people had to sacrifice for your and my benefit. Continuing here. So Hananiah left and went into the house. Placing his hands on him, he said, Brother Shaul, the Lord Yeshua, the one who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. And in that moment, something like scales fell away from Shaul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up, and he was immersed. Then he ate some food and regained his strength. Shaul spent some days with the Talmudim in Damascus. And immediately he began proclaiming in the synagogues that Yeshua is the Son of God. Who told him that? But Yeshua himself. Who opened up his eyes and gave him spiritual sight and insight? It was Yeshua. What was he filled with? The Ruach HaKodesh. The Spirit of the living God, who leads us all into truth. Think about a reversal in this man's life. Think about the large group of individuals that came with him. And suddenly this all happens. They don't lay a hand upon him. That's a miracle work of God, because they could have simply seized him and said, he lost his mind. They could have brought him back into chains and placed him in before the Kohen HaGadol. But no one will even lay a hand upon him. Do I believe the scripture doesn't give us all these details? Do you believe that these people were with him for a period of time? Absolutely. Do you think that these people were there when Hananiah came into the house and wondered who this guy is? Why is he here? Is he an assassin? And is he all about? But Hananiah came and he had that vision from Adonai, from Yeshua, who spoke to him and corrected his theology and told him all these things so that he would go forward and do the will of the Father. God does not send you out before first he calls you and gives you instruction, exactly what you're to say and exactly what you're to do. If you do anything less or more, you're not fulfilling his will. And you're not representing the king who has sent you. Going on here. Saul spent some days with the Talmudim in Damascus. Just think about that. They opened up the doors there. Don't you think they all needed reassurance? Was Shaul setting a trap? How much more beneficial there to gather all the disciples throughout all of Damascus into one place? And the temple guards and everyone shows up, and then they're all arrested, and they're all on their way back to Jerusalem. But you know what they saw? They saw this man being transformed by the power of the living God. What are the elders and the deacon and the rabbi to be seen going on in this congregation? But men and women and children being transformed by the power of the living God. And encouraging them, praying for them, lifting them up, giving them opportunities to minister, to use their giftings. See, he had to have some time here. Doesn't tell us how long. Can you think about the Beit Midrash, the house of study in the synagogue there, where there's both there assembled Jewish believers that believe in the Tanakh, which are all, but it's also interspersed with those who are following after the way. Can you imagine the discussion and the debate? And the very one that's actually carrying the letters to arrest those of the way stands up and starts to give scripture upon scripture, proves why Yeshua is the Son of God and the Mashiach, the Messiah. Don't you think seeds are being sown? Absolutely. But there are some that are so full of their zeal now, as we continue to read, they make choices. Let's move forward. So Shaul spent some days with the Talmudim in Damascus, and immediately he began proclaiming in the synagogues that Yeshua is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Isn't he the man who in Jerusalem was trying to destroy the people who call on this name?" Can you understand their amazement? In fact, isn't that why he came here? To arrest them and bring them back to the head Kohanim? But Shaul, being filled more and more power, was creating an uproar among the Jews living in Damascus with his proofs that Yeshua is the Messiah. Turmoil's happening. See the zeal that he had prior to coming to acknowledging Yeshua as Messiah was still there. That zeal to proclaim. but it's not bridled yet. Continuing here. Verse 23. Quite some time later, the non-believing Jews, when it's talking about non-believing Jews here, non-believing in that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. They gathered together and made plans to kill him. Who's the him? Shaul. We got to end this guy's life. No one can stand before him and debate with him. I mean, he was a Pharisee among the Pharisees, trained at the knees of Gamaliel, a representative of the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest of Jerusalem. But their plot became known to Shaul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to do away with him. But under the cover of night, his Talmudim, wait a second. Didn't Yeshua say that we are to do what? Build big buildings? Sell CDs? Sell cassettes? Have everyone look at us and glorify and honor our name so that we become superstars in their lives? No. We're to make what? Talmudim disciples. This guy's a brand new believer Messiah. Yes. And God is using him. He's slowly moving the bridle in Rav Shaul's mouth. Let's move forward. But under the cover of night, his Talmudim took him and let him down over the city wall, lowering him in a large basket. On reaching Jerusalem, he tried to join the Talmudim there. Who's this? Rav Shaul. But they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a Talmud, a disciple. However, Barnabas, the son of encouragement, got hold of him and took him to the emissaries, to the apostles. And he told them how Shaul had seen the Lord while traveling, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus Shaul had spoken out boldly in the name of Yeshua. So he remained with them and went all over Jerusalem, continuing to speak out boldly in the name of the Lord. Now think about the Kohen HaGadol. Rav Shaul still has all these letters in his hands to arrest all those. But here he's coming back, and he's proclaiming that Yeshua is the Messiah, and that there's one way to the Father's kingdom. It's through Yeshua and Yeshua alone. His zeal is at a zenith right now, and there's so much havoc going on in the city of Jerusalem here. Verse 29, he talked and debated with the Greek-speaking Jews. And who were they? They were the ones that stoned Stephen. Can you imagine their surprise? Wasn't he the one that was holding on to their coats as they went and gathered stones to stone Stephen? Absolutely. He talked and debated with the Greek-speaking Jews, but they began making attempts to kill him. Now let's listen to verse 30. And we'll end on this. When the brothers, fellow Jews who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, this is the emissaries, learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. And this is the last verse we'll end on today. Then the Messianic community throughout Yehuda, Judah, and Galilee and Sharon enjoyed peace and was built up. And they lived in fear of the Lord and with the counsel of the Ruach HaKodesh, and their numbers kept multiplying. See, he was like a battering ram that no one could stop from battering through the doors with his zeal. And he had to be sent away by God's counsel so that he could go and have time to grow and mature, and so that the bridle that had been set in his mouth, he would then recognize when the Spirit of the living God was speaking through him. And he wasn't just going about by his zeal. He had to spiritually mature and grow. You and I are on that path together. There's areas in life that the Lord needs to use his bridle to rein us back in. Because unbridled zeal does not glorify God the Father. Shabbat shalom.